This is Mouth Media Network. Amplify and connect.
Hello, I'm Francisco Costa. I'm the founder of Costa Brazil. And what I realized that I like about beauty is that the spirit of beauty really is, it's so ingrained to the health of the planet, you know, and it was almost like a quest, you know, finding really what meant to me beauty today, you know. So I think that that's a space that hasn't been really touched by a luxury brand. And that's what we're here. That's what we stand for. You know, we are beauty. They are very, you know, connected to the body and body in nature.
You're about to take a journey into the Amazon with one of the most prolific fashion designers of recent memory. He takes us beyond the glitzy runways into a place that gave him inspiration for his newest creation, a beauty brand. You'll witness the entire creative process of how he conceived and developed a unique skincare and fragrance company that has an exotic ingredient that's food for your skin. And while most indie brand founders start with a product and build from there, you'll discover how he did the opposite, starting with inspiration.
From New York City, you're listening to Beauty is Your Business, covering the intersection of innovation and business in the beauty industry.
Welcome back to Beauty is Your Business. We are here today with Francisco Costa.
Hello.
And my wonderful co-host, April Franzino.
Hi.
Hi, April.
So we're so excited to have you here today. You know, you are an iconic name in the fashion industry, winning multiple awards for the work you've done at Calvin Klein. What inspired you to start a beauty brand? And what opportunity do you see that's not being done that you think needs to be done differently in luxury?
Well, thank you. I think I'm very lucky because I've been in the business, on the fashion business for almost 30 years. Calvin Klein was the last 14, and I really instinctively felt that something was up. And because I was always very much ingrained on somebody else's vision, mm-hmm. although Calvin's vision was very much, you know, my vision for the last 14 years, you know, I felt that something else I could give the world. I felt like there was something else that I could really be happier doing, perhaps have a more authentic voice. With that being said, the year prior leaving the company, Calvin Klein, I had already had my brand book. And it was really lush. It was really beautiful. Very much, very designed, right? It was very deliberately, very precise, very minimal, very gorgeous to look at. And design was really the equation there. But I didn't know what somewhat, you know, to translate that into a beauty business, you know, and that's how it all begins, you know, and that's the fun of it. So I was just very inspired, you know. Manzoni was one of the artists that I always looked as reference, and he created in his 50s and 60s, you know, a collection of products that he used to call Merde d'Artiste, which is like, you know, basically, you know, artist shit. And there was a series of cans, you know, so the product, the design was very beautiful. It was very, very gorgeous. This is, you know, this is to me really, you know, it's a wellness, it's a vitamin shop, it's a beauty something. It felt very relatable, you know, to my world, to my lifestyle and things that I loved. So with that being said, I started working on it. And I took a, then I was obviously, you know, a year prior leaving, I already had a book, but I couldn't work on anything because I was just super busy. Right after I was let go from the company, I said, okay, this is the time. And I started the process very slowly.
How exactly did the process go? Where did you start when you said, okay, this might be a beauty, something related to beauty? How did you go from the book and the concept and the inspiration to the actual product?
I mean, the vessels were very delicious, you know, so it really touched me. And it touches everyone that sees it because, number one, it's very tactile. You know, it feels, it plays with highs and lows. You know, the containers that he designed once were just magnificently beautiful, almost like, you know, objects of desire, you know. And so that was very established. And the most challenging part now was, okay, you know, what's the goop? What is the story? I created a merchandising plan, you know, an imaginary merchandising plan. It was really beautiful. It was very much, it was a wellness brand. You know, you had your bath rituals, your bathe rituals, you had your skin rituals, you had your breathe rituals, you had all those rituals within. And also we had, you know, great, you know, hospitality things going through that, you know, the whole wellness vibe with the great oils and, you know, the spas. It was all very much part of the whole story. Funny enough is that as I was traveling, you know, through Europe, and I was doing a lot of research in terms of labs, I have zero idea. People, I would knock the doors, people wouldn't answer because who is this guy? You know what I mean? No one comes to a beauty business like that, you know, asking crazy questions and wanting this, this, and that without even having like a technical sheet of the product. So I think I kind of break a lot of rules. You know, I kind of was very like reluctant, trying to understand. And all of that was very, to me, was very important because I know so much. And now I am able to, you know, say yes, no, and to see, okay, I want to work with these people, I don't want to work with these people. So it was very learning, the whole process. But I did go Europe, you know, France, Switzerland, you know, engaged in many, many meetings in California and in the West Coast, also here in the East Coast, because it's, you know, just so much to offer. Till I really realized I wasn't finding the core of what the brand was supposed to be. And the brand was supposed to be about pure ingredients, you know, ingredients that were challenging, that hadn't been seen, because that's how I always do. I treated it like I was treating a collection, mm-hmm. You know. You want the newness. You want something that's really exciting, that makes you want it, right? I mean, so it was very much that mindset, you know, also with a great beauty foundation attached to it, which was the packaging and what have you. So I was working at the time at this was like June. I was working with the Special Olympics. I was doing the opening ceremony for the Special Olympics, and it was in Brazil. And I took like 2 months off, and I just dedicated myself, you know, to do that, which was really wonderful. And then friends of mine were planning this trip into the Amazon. You know, it was a very fancy trip. You know, there was a gigantic boat with cooks and this and that. But because the whole process started to become very, you know, the whole thing was done with very low budget. The Olympics, the second Olympics, the Special Olympics. We had to cancel the trip because nothing was done properly. So we became a little heated. And I called the agents. I'm very sorry we canceled, but I still want to go somewhere. Send me anywhere you want. I want to be in the jungle. I want to be completely remote. In San Francisco, there is a festival in this area of Brazil called Acre, which is a state that nobody talks about, that nobody even knows that exists in Brazil. And it's the furthest west state into the Amazon. And then there's this community, this incredible indigenous community called the Waiwanawas. Later, I found out that actually Aveda had done a collaboration with the tribe. And on YouTube, you'll find many, many videos from many people who have, you know, visited the tribe, including Joaquin Phoenix and what have you. So I blindly accepted, okay, I'm going. You know, I packed my bag, you know, my backpack, you know, with a couple of bowls of water, totally like crazy, you know, and tons of, you know, protein bars and what have you, because I didn't know what to expect. And I went to the jungle. I spent, the trip was 10 days. After we flew into this town called Cruzeiro do Sul, from there we drove 5 hours into the deep jungle, and there we took canoes, six and a half hours on a canoe ride into this river until we found the first community, and I was staying in the third community.
Wow.
There are 11 communities within this river called the Gregorios River, and I was just like, oh my God.
You're totally off the grid.
This is really scary. You know, and I had a photographer with me, and I didn't know anyone. You know, there was the guide. There was, you know, this photographer also does film, what have you. And this anthropologist that I didn't know. So we were four people. Nobody knew each other. And it was this crazy, amazing journey, you know, very, very, very difficult at first, you know. And conceptually, the idea was really, number one, I had been working for so long in the fashion industry. I needed something that was challenged me, that took me away from everything. And that just did what I needed. But also to understand, you know, the way people live, you know, what the jungle smells like, you know, what the Amazon smells like, how dense it is, you know, how do they live, how do they fish. So it was a tremendous opportunity, you know. I got to be part of many of their rituals. For instance, there's a ritual of the fishing, which was so magical. One evening, you know, first of all, people are very courteous, you know, the male and the female. It's like a fan, you know. That's how they relate to each other. It's beautiful, you know. Everything that they do is never. It's always very courteous. It's very beautiful. It's just like this movement. So it's almost like a dance. And in the evening there was this dance, you know. And the men were supposed to get the fishing. Day was the next morning, so this was an event to prepare for the fishing. So. The men's are here, the women's are here, we did this dance. So the women ties in every male they find interesting or whatever, you know, a little bracelet. And then the amount of bracelets that you get is the amount of fish you have to bring over.
Oh, my.
So I got three. I said, I don't know how this is going to happen. Because I don't know, you know, I'm in the jungle. How are we going to fish, right? So 5 in the morning, we'll get up after the evening. And I go to the forest with the male, all the guys, and then we start chopping this one type of leaf, this particular thing. We bring bunches of it, you know, like into the tribe, and we're starting to chop that and make that into this pesto, this green mud, you know, and this green mud was transported into every canoe. There was probably 50 canoes, you know. There's a lot of people. And then we start tossing that into the river. It so happens that the river at that time of the year is very shallow. And it's not the Amazon River. It's like one little branch, you know. And all automatically the fish was popping up. You know, obviously for the lack of oxygen, which that herb, you know, provided. So that was how they fish it with the spears. And so it was like magical. So we go back to the tribe. All the fish had been split in pieces, and every male got the amount of bracelets that they had anticipated. So it's a lovely thing, right? Because the community here again, working as a community, you know, though we're all there, you know, struggling and catching this fish and what have you. But at the end, much to my surprise, everything was split. You know, so the anxiety, it wasn't, I was the only one who had anxiety. So we didn't know how to get the fish. They were cool. They all having right. fun. It was like leisure for them to be able to bring the fish because it was a gift to their women. So that's just a lovely thing. So there were experiences like that. They were really, really, really magical. And I didn't know, though I felt the angst of being there so alone and not understanding, you know, or perhaps, you know, being so frantic to grab it, you know, every single thing and try to, oh, imagine this or translate this into something. Those things weren't happening, you know, and in hindsight, they happened much later. So the day of my trip, again, not my last, the day before I was supposed to leave, I decided to leave. On my own. This is, guys, I'm leaving. But you can't leave because everything is organized. You know, for the seventh day, you have a canoe that's going to pick you up, take you to the next village. The next village, somebody was going to take you to the next village. I mean, the next tribe. And then you arrive at this place. You know, everything was organized that way. And I said, no, I want to do just the opposite. I just want to go. I want to have another experience. So I go to the banks of the river, and luckily enough, there was a canoe passing by with a pregnant.
So let me just get this straight. You hitchhiked in the Amazon.
Yeah.
Okay. Just had to make sure. Because I think you're so, the way you describe things, and it's so interesting to hear, you know, we hear so many different entrepreneurs talk about their creative process, and like everything I'm hearing from you, I have this visual running through my head.
Yeah. I feel like I'm watching a movie.
Yeah. But you know what it is? I felt like, you know, there's so many great things about the trip, and I it would take like 5 hours to tell you. But I felt like I understood a little bit what was the dynamic, you know, and I felt like I needed to push to the next level. Maybe there would be another surprise. So I hitchhiked. I basically hitchhiked. You know, I got in this canoe. I arrived at the place where we're supposed to get the canoes, what have you, which was like 6.5 hours into the river. And I get there. There was this truck. I mean, this is a place that there's nobody, you know. There was a truck there doing something, and I hitchhiked again into town. So it was just the most incredible experience, being able to be really on your own, not knowing. I could have been eaten by, you know, a gigantic whatever, you know, on this river. And the adrenaline was just so incredible. But there was a really magical moment. The minute I left the tribe, I started crying. And I cried, and I cried, and I cried for about 3 hours. I don't remember crying for 15 seconds. You know, I cried for 3 hours nonstop. So something happened, you know, something happened. It was just let go, you know, this incredible, you know, openness, you know, and kindness towards what I had just experienced, you know, and I was able to understand. But going back to beauty, I pleasantly so was encountered this one resin. They do rituals all day, all night, you know, what have you, because I was at a moment that they were celebrating their culture at its most, because they have gotten back a lot of their land. So they felt like the last 5 years, you know, they would really provide people with the experience to come and see what they were about culturally. So that's how I managed to go. And they burned this amazing scent. I didn't know what it was. Amazing scent, you know, throughout the whole day. Gorgeous, and all night. And one evening, there was one ritual happening next to my oka, next to my hut, you know. And then I saw closely that they were putting those rocks into the wood fire. And then I was curious, what is this? I identified it was the same scent that I had felt many times, and it was the breu. And so I asked if I could bring it with me, you know, and he did exchange things, you know, left things, then they gave me things. Basically, everything that I brought, I left, you know, because it really is like that, you know. It's a courtship, but it's also an exchange. And I brought the breu with me, you know, and I thought, my God, this is so beautiful, not knowing that there were so many attributes to that resin, you know. It's in fact, after all the research we did, there are about 40 different types of that resin in that region alone, you know, and it's called breu. If you capture that early in the morning, it's a white, pulpy, and almost like a gelatin, and it smells like a woman. Let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. It's very gentle, it's gorgeous, you know, it's floral. And if you capture later, once it oxidizes, you know, with the air, of course, it just hardens it, it becomes darker. So the scent are very different from one to the other. So I brought the two rocks, which I came to understand later, and then we sent to a lab, and of course, it's mosquito repellent, and that's why they burn it all the time.
Oh, cool.
Right? Wow.
And it smells nice, too.
And it's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's mosquito repellent, you know, it's antimicrobial, it's bacterial, you know. And also the reason that they burn it is because they believe that would activate your sixth chakra. And so it's like a Palo Santo thing, right? That, you know, it just makes things calm, you know, the bad spirits are away. So all those good things that we believe, you know, in deep of our hearts. So that was like a really tremendous experience, you know, coming back from there. And I somewhat came with the certainty that I had to dig it even further. And this was the core of the brand. You know, there was no lab that was going to give me that, you know. So with that being said, I took all the trips into different parts of the Amazon. Because the Amazon, imagine, is you know, it's the United States. Above it, it's Canada, right? From east to west, it's enormous. And there's so much to explore. So I took further trips into Belém, which is the well-known. It's the state of Pará. It's very, very, very north of Brazil, the tip of the Amazon. And it's known as the port of all of the goods that comes from the Amazon. So there I got to visit it with the CEO of IFF, who was a very dear friend of mine, you know, Nicholas Mirians, who actually helped me engage on this trip. So this was a much more formalized trip. It was much more directed into a deeper understanding of how those communities actually do business, you know. And also with another company in Brazil, they actually provided us with the whole itinerary for the trip and what have you, helped us organize a very large Brazilian company called Natura. They were very, very generous, you know, to give...
Oh, the Natura, the cosmetics company.
Yes, yeah. They were very generous to give me this opportunity to go and see all of their chain supply. So what we did there, we visited all the communities, you know, the indigenous communities, but also the Ribeirinhos, which Ribeirinhos are basically, you know, the people mixed race, who once was, you know, in the jungle working for farmers and this and that, you know, and mixed with the Indians. So it's like a multicultural, you know, race, let's put it that way. And they're the ones who are actually, you know, doing the work in the jungle and in the jungle into the Amazon and doing all those great things. So it was really fascinating, you know, getting the two sides. And from there, you know, I identified this one indigenous Brazilian tree called Sapucaia. And Sapucaia, it was it was very prolific. No, it was very well liked in the 19th century. So when the Portuguese family, royal family, arrived in Brazil, they fell in love with this tree, and they mass planted it in several different locations throughout the Northeast where they had their houses built. And but it's an Amazonian tree. It's a tree from the Amazon, and I challenged it because it's so beautiful. You know, it's also a habitat. This tree is so big, and it's so pink. And also, it's the habitat of many other trees within. So there's this several species that live in this tree, and they live this incredible, you know, ecosystem. You know, this tree is just like, it's insane because it has all these bromelias that grow out of them, you know, so it's very funny. But it produces this gorgeous, almost prehistorical coconut-like. And once it's, you know, once it's ripe, the tip of the top of the cap of this one large structure, I call it the coconut-like, it pops out, and then the birds love it, you know, the monkeys love it, and it's actually known as the monkey pot. And I says, this is very interesting because it really is something that everybody, the whole, you know, they love it. The animals love it. Why this should be really good? So we decided to into this lab again. So let's just try, you know, to create this cold pressed oil and see what it is. It's the seed in Brazil with the highest content of protein. So it's really, really magical. It's really beautiful. So we adopted this. We identified several trees of the same species. And now we are the only ones across the Brazil who actually have, you know, the rights to sell it.
That's incredible.
So that's one of our second ingredient. But again, I mean, should I keep going, guys?
So, it's kind of amazing to hear. I don't know anyone else who's gone to the depths and this kind of to, you know, understand the ingredients. And then, you know, your product is so elegant and simple, but like the story and the color is like really beautiful. You know, up next, I'm really excited to go into more of the business in terms of where you're at today and where you're headed next. But before we do that, one of the special rituals we have on our show is snack time, where it's an opportunity for us to break bread. So I'd love to understand what you brought for us and what story you have behind that.
Guys, what I just brought, it's a very typical, it's a cheese bread, and it's typical from my home state. I come from Minas Gerais, which is a state southwest of Rio. It's in the mountains. And this is something that your mom makes, you know, your aunt makes, and then they compete against each other who makes the best one. So I'm very lucky. Here we go.
Oh, that's amazing. Where did you get it from?
We have some cheese bread.
Oh my gosh,
like yes.
So up next, we'll hear more about taking this inspiration and this amazing, you know, fabulous ingredient and how it's turned into the business that is Costa Brazil.
Here comes Makeup in New York, the only and unique B2B makeup event at your doorstep. The next edition, September 11th and 12th in New York City at Center 415. Makeup in New York is a unique place where you can find from alpha to omega every piece of a makeup and skincare product and make your own line. Advised and guided by the savoir-faire of the most qualified experts in the beauty industry. Whatever your project is, you can find the best contact there. You can ask for an invitation on the show's website, makeupinnewyork.com.
You've sourced ingredients from the Amazon yourself. So what are you putting the ingredients into? What kinds of products did you find that were the best way to deliver them to consumers?
Well, I mean, Costa Brazil is really about innovation. So with the ingredients that we found, you know, we really refined. Of course, we bring them to the U.S. You know, the collection line is made in the U.S. It's EcoCert. You know, it's mostly organic. It's very substantial, very, very refined. We created two rituals. Of course, the line is about lifestyle. But we created two rituals which are in the stores right now, which is our skin ritual, which is composed by a face cream. It's an anti-aging formula, which is really, really great. Packed with the antioxidants, you know, all the vitamins that you need. You know, activates your derm in your epiderm because it balances the amount of oil and your dehydration. So it works both ways. It's really incredible. And it's it's a really, really refined formula. And it's like incomparable. And it has somewhat the healing properties in it. You know, if you have a cut, if you have, you know, if your nails are a little something, you just put it on. And I promise you, in 2 days, it's done. And it has to do with the Breu, actually. Mm. You know, the many other vitamins. You know, this is the face oil. We have a body oil, which is really lush, really gorgeous. You know, packed with the same jungle complex that we have. But also here, many gorgeous butters, you know, which again, it's really yummy for the skin, hydrates, leaving you glow. You know, it's almost food. I look at my products as they're food for the skin. You know, it's not your traditional, you know, a beauty brand. You know, it goes deeper. And I think that's the idea here of the brand. And then we have a breathe ritual, which are beautiful, again, a candle, which is a vegan candle. Of course, we also a vegan brand. and the brew itself. I felt like people needed to, you know, understand what that is, you know, what the real core of the ingredients story is. So we're selling the brew, which is it's an orthodox way of selling a resin because it's like an incense, right? But it slows you down, you know, like Palo Santo again, you know, slows you down the way you burn it. You don't expect to burn that, you know, for a long period of time. You break little pieces, you just burn it and just scents your home. And it's very peaceful, very, very beautiful. You know, we are very excited because as a brand, you know, Costa Brazil, you know, we are talking about, you know, this large community of happiness. Right, of feeling good, of wellness, you know, and very much worried about you feeling good, and you have actually getting back from what you buy, you know, expect you to buy less, but to buy better, and we expect also that, you know, you understand where it comes from, you know, the fineness of the ingredients, you know, understand how beautiful they are and how really honest they are, how authentic they are, which makes this very, very special, which makes this a small or slow luxury brand. I say that because it takes time for one to understand. I was asked yesterday, okay, you talk about slow luxury. That's interesting. But how are you going to scale it? You know, again, we are very lucky that there's so much out there, you know, that could be really sourced in a clean, you know, and decent way. So there would never be a shortage of amazing ingredients. So if our jungle complex, you know, because of Kaya, for instance, you know, the crops once a year. You know, last year we got about 400 kilos, you know. The year before was 480. You know, we don't know next year will be bringing us. So, you know, we have the potential. We have lined up amazing ingredients that will, you know, take place, you know, with pluses, you know, and not minuses because this is great. But again, going back to the brand, it's lifestyle. You know, the Brazilian lifestyle is so much part of it. You know, and it's really about self-confidence. It's about feeling good about your body. It's about feeling good about yourself. You know, sounds a bit, you know, overplayed what I just said, but that's the reality. You know, if you're happy, you know, things change. You know, you're just really, really on top of your game. Yeah. You know?
It's interesting. I think all the things you're talking about, it really shows through in the ethos of like the Instagram.
Sure.
You know, where it was really a fresh take.
Sure.
In terms of introducing, you know, a brand or like communicating a story. So I think that's really cool.
Yes. We like to think that, you know, to buy less is a good thing, but yeah. To buy better, you know, I think that you should fight like hell to protect the earth. You know, that's that's a good ethos as well.
And that's part of like your give back, right? What you do with the Conservation International.
Conservation International.
Yeah.
In fact, that's why we need to become a larger brand. We want to scale. We become, you know, very accessible. You know, now we are, you know, prestige. You know, our prices are, you know, priced in such a way that could have been much more expensive, but we decided to make it such a way that's very, very affordable as well, and also very aspiring, you know, to people. A lot of our followers are, you know, really interesting enough. You know, millennials, which we love. You know, and the youth is really, you know, finding us, which I think is very important.
So today the brand is the face oil, the body oil, and the, you know, you, as you describe them, the rituals with these amazing benefits where you have, it's so incredible that you guys have the rights to this ingredients that makes it really special. Where are you sold today? What's the strategy for the business and where do you see it heading in the future?
Well, we are about 25 places right now.
Mm-hmm. And you just launched.
We launched in December.
December.
With Conservation International, we did our first little campaign last year, like 5 days after the campaign. We actually managed to plant 6,000 trees into the Amazon, which I'm going to actually see in December where we did.
That's amazing.
We just did one yesterday, a new campaign on Instagram. Please check it out. For every picture you take and you tag across Brazil, we'll be planting another tree. But our retail has been tremendous, and our largest partner right now is Net-a-Porter. So we really love what the work they're doing. You know, we're supporting them. They're supporting us. You know, our sell-throughs have been really tremendous. And great plans for, you know, Gallery Lafayette in September in Europe. We're also going to be in Comme des Garçons in many other stores like On the Beauty, you know, all the right places. Again, we're being also, because it's 6 months, you know, we call ourselves a direct consumer, but also retail has become very, just as important. Mm-hmm. You know, we are in a process of reworking our website, because initially, I think the idea behind the brand is to have this hub of communicators and really engaging people to become part of a world. So it's more of like a broader strategy that will come with time. So that's how we would like to engage and be known.
So I sort of related to what you're saying and how you're, you know, adjusting things as you've gone along. What have the challenges or the opportunities been going from working at huge, you know, multinational corporations to sort of starting your own indie brand from scratch? What are the challenges that you didn't expect or that you've had to sort of work through along the way?
I had bigger challenges working at a corporation. You know,
or the advantages.
This is extraordinary. You know, you wake up so happy about it. You know what you want to go for. You know, I think because we are indie, we're small, you know, we allowed to make mistakes, although we haven't made many. You know, it's a process of learning. And when you're learning, you're evolving and you're growing. And that's really, really exciting. You know, so the prognostics here are tremendous. You know, we are getting so much love from the industry in general, you know, and from the retailers as well. I have to say, though, that the biggest challenge, but not being, you know, being a designer all my life, a creative director, and not really understanding how, you know, e-com works, you know. I'm very, very, very honest. You know, I thought you put a website there, you put a name there, and people jumped in, you know. So with your help, Karen, you know, I think things will become, you know, much better. But it's, again, it's very interesting, you know, how this business have become another business and how that business is another business. So I feel very energized, you know. I think there's no stop in the moment, you know. And I'm much happier now in all senses. You know, I see that the work is not politicized. You know, I see that there is a foundation from everything that I do, a direction from everything that we do, you know, that generate results, you know. And whether the results are right or wrong, I don't think they're right or wrong. Is it the right time or the wrong time? You know, so it's really looking at things, you know, very pragmatically, you know, and making decisions. And that goes back to, you know, a sustainable way of living, a sustainable way of creating a brand in a sustainable way of managing a business, right? Our intentions is really to become a B Corp, you know, at some point a carbon-free company. However, I don't know how we do it, but we'll dig into it. But in the past, there was so much waste, right? And I think that happens in corporate. You know, there's so much waste. There's so much waste of time. There's so much waste of energy. There's so much waste of ideas. And also we produce so much, mm-hmm. you know. And it's time for questioning, you know. It really is seriously time for questioning all the industries. And that's what, when you ask me what beauty is, you know, what beauty seems to be to me, you know, that has to be asked in all businesses, not the beauty industry itself. You know, I mean, it really has to do with the planet. That's where we habitate. That's where we live. And hey, let's try it. I'm not perfect, but we try it.
So since sustainability is such a big platform for this brand, what are the first things that you've been doing or the ways that, you know, you've developed the brand with that in mind?
Well, after I came back from the trips, especially my second trip, I realized that I did not have the potential to go and source it myself, right? I couldn't deal directly with the communities.
How easy would it be to hitchhike all those times?
You know? No, but also to deal, you know, there's so many regulations, right. You know, it becomes a huge ordeal. That's where Conservation International plays a huge, huge support, because they are soldiers. They are on the ground. And for instance, we have this one ingredient called kakai. You know, kakai, it's known as the gold in the Amazon, and it's very powerful oil. A lot of other brands have been using. You know, it's very expensive oil. Of course, we use, we made a statement of it because it's part of our complex. But we were purchasing from one community, one supplier, and then through Conservation International, we realized there was another community on the borders of Colombia, and this community was completely transformed by the introduction of kakai as a serious ingredient that could provide them with businesses and could provide them with financial support. And so it's wonderful. So now we buy from them. You know, it's a community which once was, dealing with coke and pot. I don't know what else they were doing there. You know, very, very confusing, difficult situation. Today is they live in peace. They have their businesses.
That's amazing.
And that's the importance of having, a organization of that sort, working with you, So, going back to the sustainability, that was like our first thing. How can we grow together with somebody who can actually give us the support? The second thing is packaging, right? I mean, I debate with packaging all the time. I love packaging, but I can't. It's just enough. It makes me sick after a day of work or 2 days of work. Your trash bin is like filled with stuff. So we have to really start to realize that something has to change, And when I created my packaging, it was really based in beauty and slickness, sharpness, somewhat something that will last forever, which is all good because it's sustainable, right? You want one of my cans, you want to replant them, you want to use them for some things, for other things, because they're just beautiful objects. But I hope that in the very near future, I'll become more modern when it comes to packaging. I will innovate there as well.
So thank you so much for sharing. It's so interesting to hear the creative process, how you're thinking differently about, designing the brand, the packaging, but also even thinking about the ethos of your company and redesigning how you guys work, right? How you think about less waste. It's really cool. Up next, we'll get to know Francisco at a much deeper level personally, where we get to hit the pan and ask personal questions.
Hi, I'm Roseanne Gold. I'm a chef, an author, a food writer, and the host of a new podcast called One Woman Kitchen. So excited to be doing this because I'm interviewing the most fascinating women in the food world. And you don't even have to be interested in the food world or be part of it to enjoy these remarkable women's stories. It's diverse, it's international, it's intergenerational. What's most exciting to me is that the concept of One Woman Kitchen means something different for everyone. You can listen to One Woman Kitchen every week at onewomankitchenshow.com and also where all the best podcasts can be found.
And now it's Hitting the Pan.
So now we're going to hit the pan with Francisco. And to decide who gets to ask the question first, I'm going to take a spin at the salon chair. And it lands on April.
All right. So, Francisco, you talked about beautiful objects and how important they are in your life and in your design and inspiration for your new brand. What is your most prized object of beauty that you own?
Wow.
You can take a minute to think about it.
That's a very good question, a very difficult question, because it's so easy. I like everything that I own. I don't have much. I'm a minimalist. I'm a reductionist. So I flip around objects all the time in my house, because every time I see one in a different angle, it's something different. So, and I look at them differently, because also somewhat it changed the feng shui. If you believe in feng shui, it changed the feng shui of the room. Mm. It's fascinating. So I'm very busy changing things around all the time. But the most beautiful, praised object I have, I think the most amazing object that I have a cardigan from my mom. And I just carry that everywhere, you know. And it was like a very basic, you know, 5-button cardigan that after she passed away, I just kept it. So.
Mm. Oh, I love that. I know. It doesn't have to be a fancy.
Divert the beauty.
No, yeah. I love it. That is a beautiful thing.
It's simple, but it's really beautiful.
It has meaning to you. Yeah. That's really cool.
So the cilantro is spinning again. Just pushed it a little bit harder. And it lands on me. So Francisco, I mean, wow, it was like kind of amazing hearing you talk about and like sharing your journey and hitchhiking through the Amazon. It sounds like such a transformational experience. Coming back from that trip, personally, have you developed any rituals or anything that you took away that's changed, you know, kind of how you live your life?
No.
At least he's honest.
No. Well, my rituals are very, very, very basic. You know, when it comes from the way I wake up and the way, you know, I wash myself. You know, I don't take baths, but I mean, I brush myself with, you know, dry brushes, which I love. Salt is fundamental on my life. I love scrub myself with pure salt because I'm detoxified. It also, you know, makes me my pH balanced. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think my rituals is just like maybe because you're getting older, you're getting less stressed out about things. You know, you're taking a different perspective. Although I'm very fast and I'm always running, you know, I accept the deal. It's okay. You know, I don't find anything to be a problem. Mm-hmm. I think that helped me. I think that helped because what I lived prior, you know, especially in the last 14 years at a corporation, you know, they just squeezed me to death, you know. So I think coming back, you know, that sort of 3 hours crying was like really liberating. And my rituals of life, my mental rituals have changed that it's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, it's okay. It's all good.
That's nice.
I love it. Makes me want to go on a journey into the Amazon.
No, truly. It's just wow.
Yeah. So it's less of the ritual, physical rituals, and more of the mental rituals that I've
changed.
I think
it's a mental ritual.
So does there any, do you have any final thoughts for our listeners?
Well, I have to say, I have to give a compliment to my dear friend and partner, Michelle Levy, because although with all these great trips, you know, and really starting the brand, I mean, she really made the whole thing come to life for me, you know, and I'm very happy because she's so dynamic. She's so hardworking. She's just so smart, mm-hmm. you know, so I dedicate this podcast to her.
Oh, that's beautiful. And what's the best way for our listeners to get in touch?
I think the best way to get in touch really is through our Instagram at Costa Brazil. Our website also is really wonderful because it's very different than a beauty, your regular beauty website. So, you know, take a look at it.
Cool.
What else?
Well, thank you, Francisco, for sharing your vision, your story, and we're so excited to see what comes next. I mean, this is just the beginning of a much bigger, you know, mission. And, you know, I think we should all go and hashtag someone so we can plant more trees.
Well, that's very important. I really encourage you guys to do that because there's no limit. You know, the more hashtags we get, the more involved we will get. And, And very soon we're going to see the results. Mm-hmm. You know, in another podcast, I'll tell you exactly how the process is done, you know, through CI. You know, we have delegates working with us. And there's so many different ways also which we are learning. It's not, I imagine that we just pluck a tree in the ground. There's so many different interesting new techniques in which they do that. And also interesting to see which areas mm-hmm. are the areas that have been chosen to get the support. So seriously, plant a tree.
Sounds great. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to share
You're very welcome today. Pleasure to have.
And thank you, April, for being such an amazing co-host.
Thank you, Karen.
And thank you all for listening to another episode of Beauty is Your Business. We look forward to seeing you on the next show. Hugs and kisses.
This has been Beauty is Your Business, produced by Mouth Media Network. Copyright 2019. Keep in touch on Instagram and Facebook at Mouth Media Network. And find prior episodes at beautyisyourbusiness.com and wherever the best podcasts are found. Your brand message can be on this show. Email us to find out more at podcast@mouthmedianetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
This is Mouth Media Network. Amplify and connect.